The Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher.
Welcome once again, beloved, to the Message of Grace. I'm Brother Leon Anderson, and today I want to speak with you out of the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is a book that was written by the Apostle Paul, a letter of reproof for confusion and church order that was going on in that Corinthian church. And today I want to speak to you primarily from the verse 33 of chapter 14. And the verse reads as follows. "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." And beloved, there was a lot of confusion in the Corinthian church, as I foresaid, and the Apostle Paul dealt with it, and he wrote this verse to try and help clear up some of the confusion, because there were some that not only caused confusion in that church, but they thought they were quite spiritual as they did so. And so the verse not only applies to that day, Paul, I believe, is writing to us today also, because there is much, much confusion in our church world today. And so I want to speak to you out of this book and try and show you that God has made some conveniences and some efforts for us today, that there is no reason why there should be so much confusion in the professing church world today, especially since the church is supposed to be leading the people according to godliness. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and 33, God is truly not the author of confusion. But in order to understand that, beloved, you must go to the Apostle Paul, the minister of the Gentiles. There are some that even blame God for all the confusion in the world today. They say, why? The cry is why doesn't God do something? And I want to show you tonight, God has indeed done something. In many of the churches, the confusion is so great that you can almost just shop your own church. You can find a church that will validate whatever it is you want to believe concerning God. But God has a message today to dispel all confusion. He has a true message today, and He has an apostle which represents that oneness of the one body, and his name is Paul. God is not only not responsible for the confusion, beloved, but He is not happy with the confusion that engrossed the church world today. He's not happy at all, especially since the word of God that we have today is so plain and so understandable. God has preserved this King James Bible for us in that there is no reason why we should be so confused today if we were to rightly divide the word of truth and just burn a little midnight oil and study the word of God. Beloved, some of the real bad things about the confusion in the church world today, though, is the fact that Christians seem not to be disturbed about the confusion. They seem to think, well, I've got my thing and you've got yours, you know, and I've got my belief and I've got my niche and you have yours. And I don't think God is very pleased with this, beloved. It shouldn't be that way at all. God has saved the Apostle Paul, who was formerly Saul of Tarsus, who was on the Damascus Road, and he was searching for everyone that called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to persecute or lock him up, because he thought himself that the Lord Jesus Christ was a heretic, and that those who called upon him were just heretic followers. And so he got saved on the Damascus Road, and the Lord Jesus Christ gave him the mystery, that which had been hidden from ages and from generations. The Lord Jesus Christ from heaven's glory revealed it to the Apostle Paul. And beloved, this message therein contains information that will satisfy, I believe, any reasonable Christian concerning, or any reasonable question you might have concerning godliness today. Therein, you can find it in the mystery. If you rightly divide the word of truth, the Bible says, study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, as we rightly divide the word of truth. Now, who wrote this scripture here? For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Well, it was the Apostle Paul. He wrote the book of Corinthians. And I might add, beloved, that it's only natural that him who would raise such a question would probably have the answer to such a question, as in the court of law. I hear that it would be very unwise for a lawyer to raise a question that he doesn't know the answer of. Beloved, the answer to confusion is found in the Pauline truth. The Lord Jesus Christ has given it to Paul by revelation, and now we get it by illumination and study, and we must study to show ourselves approved unto him, workmen that need not to be ashamed, as we rightly divide the word of truth. I want to cite some examples today of how the message that was given to the Apostle Paul by the Lord Jesus Christ will help dispel confusion. Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ, or I should say, since the Lord Jesus Christ came upon this earth, left heaven's glory, came down here and purchased salvation for us, I believe of necessity God would have us not be ignorant or confused concerning the state of the unsaved. For if you don't know that you're lost, beloved, I don't believe you'll know that you need saving. So concerning the state of the unsaved, there's a prevalent saying today, incorrectly I might add, in the world, that we are just all children of God. But beloved, that is not so. That is so foreign from Scripture. There is no place found in the Word of God that collectively represents all men unequivocally as children of God. And I shall go to Romans 8, and if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8, we'll read something that might startle or surprise some of you. Romans chapter 8. In view of the fact that there are so many people crying, oh, we're all children of God. He created us all, yes. But, beloved, we're not all children of God. And we're going to look at some scripture that'll let us know that we're not all children of God. Romans 8 and verse 9. Romans 8 and verse 9 tells us, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Paul says in verse B of section B in verse 9, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Beloved, that's a plain statement, isn't it? In our own language, does that need interpreting? I don't believe so, beloved. That's a very plain statement. Beloved, I might add that There is no excuse for this confusion because God has preserved the word. It's in our language. It doesn't need interpreting. All it needs is study. And you must study to show yourself approved unto God. You must believe what God has said. He says that if a man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Thank God for this clearness of this King James Bible. Jesus himself said in John 8 and 44, and let's go there. John 8 and 44, and there is such as interdispensational truth, even in the old dispensation. If one was outside of Christ, he was not eligible to be called the Son of God. John 8 and 44. Beginning at verse 43, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, he says, "Why do you not understand my speech?" He's speaking to the unbelieving Pharisees. "Even because you cannot hear my word." Verse 44. He says, "You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." Now, beloved, let me ask you a question. Do you think the Lord Jesus Christ would lie and categorize a man as having the devil as his father if it weren't so? Beloved, you've got to believe the Bible. If you're ever going to understand the word of God, you've got to believe what God has said. He says, "Your father, the devil, him you believe it." Some go even further than that, beloved. Some not only claim that we're all children of God, those who aren't believers as well, they ascribe them as having, that is, them, the unbelievers, as having the same privileges, access to God as believers. They say, since we're all children of God, we can all call upon God, we can all get our prayers answered, we can all get results from the things that we ask of God. But beloved, the Bible says that that's not so. And in John chapter 9, concerning a man whom the Lord Jesus Christ had touched and healed, he had been blind from his mother's womb. There was a lot of dissension going on about why it was that that man could see now. And then during the discourse of explanation, he says now in verse 47. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter here. In verse 31, he says, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth." And that's not all, beloved. We can come right back home, right back to Paul, and find out what the Apostle Paul has to say about whether or not the unbeliever has access to God the same as the believers do. Romans chapter 5. And you'll turn there if you will. Romans chapter 5, and we'll get there if the Lord permits. Romans chapter 5 tells us, in verse beginning at the first verse, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Beloved, in that verse, the Bible says, therefore, being justified. The justified are the saved folk, beloved. That's not an unbeliever. The unbeliever is not justified. The unbeliever is still yet in his sins. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, the unbeliever has not exercised faith in the shed blood and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. The unbeliever doesn't have any peace with God, beloved. There's still war and wrath with God so far as the unbeliever is concerned. He's made peace through the blood of his cross, and though God is not mad with anybody yet, There is no peace settled between the unbeliever and God. He's still at enmity with God. He said, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 2, by whom also we, believers, have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Beloved, God would not have us ignorant. He would not have us confused concerning the state of the unsaved. He would not have us confused concerning who has access to him or not. Beloved, Satan thought he had defeated the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. But the Bible tells us that on the third day he rose again from the dead, and he spoiled all principalities and power, and he destroyed the sting of death and the victory of the grave. The Lord Jesus Christ was very victorious. God will not have us confused, beloved. He will not have us confused concerning what happens to the unsaved if he will remain the unsaved, if he will not get saved, if he will not exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God will not have us confused. There is a saying today concerning that, oh, would a lovable God send or ascribe a sinner to hell? Beloved, although the Bible tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Although the book of Romans 5:8 says that God commended his love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Beloved, even though the Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, we are dealing with a righteous and a holy God, beloved. And God has made preparations for salvation for the whole world, but you must accept and trust the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. The Bible says that a holy God just cannot forgive sin for no reason. They have to be paid for, beloved. And the Lord Jesus Christ paid for them with his own precious blood. 2 Thessalonians 1 tells us something in this connection concerning this loving God that cannot execute wrath upon sinful man. 2 Thessalonians 1 tells us something in that connection. So we'll go to 2 Thessalonians 1. 2 Thessalonians 1. Verses 7 through 9. Beloved, and listen to this. Verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Listen, beloved, verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now, does this sound like the loving God that you talk about, beloved? Yes, God is love. Make no mistake about it. But God is righteous, and God is a just God. And whatever God requires to get into his heaven, He doesn't compromise, beloved. You must believe in the shed blood and the finished. You must trust the Lord. I like the word trust. You know, there is a leeway when you talk about believe. There's a leeway when you talk about, yeah, I know him. But, beloved, trust is right on. I believe that if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ in the remission of your sins, I believe you've met God's requirement. Yes, everlasting destruction. Now, what's so devastating about that, beloved? The Bible says here, everlasting destruction. Now, that's something that's hard to grasp for us in this human realm, because usually when something to us is destroyed, it doesn't exist after it's destroyed. But, beloved, look at what the Bible says. It says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction? The destruction is everlasting. What a mighty God we serve. But you've got to meet his requirements, beloved. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, right across the page, goes further. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8, beginning at the 8th verse, talking about that Antichrist after the rapture. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Listen, beloved. Verse 11, verse 10, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Beloved, does this sound like the softy God that you know? This is a righteous God, beloved. Have you read the book of Revelation, chapter 20? I advise you to do so. You'll find that the God we serve is a God who is a just God. He does take vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even the Apostle Paul, who presents God's grace more emphatically than any other writer in the Bible as a whole, tells us something in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Sure, he pronounces that God is love, that God is love, not is full of love, but that God is indeed love. Look what he tells us also about this God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 11. Starting at verse 10, he says, for we, talking about us believers, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Listen, beloved, at number 11. The Apostle Paul, who presents the grace of God like no other writer, reiterates the Old Testament when he says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Hebrews chapter 12 has something to say in that connection also. There are many that believe that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I'm not going to take issue with that, but Hebrews chapter 12 says something in that connection about this God we have, whether or not he's such a softy God that he's not a just God and he will not say what he says he's going to do. He will not do, rather, what he says he's going to do. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29. The writer says in verse 28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Verse 29, beloved, he says, for our God is a consuming fire. Beloved, God will not have us confused. You can't blame God It's all here in His Word. And my advice to you, beloved, is that if you're going to study the Word of God, that you get you a good King James Version. Yeah, it's been collecting dust for ages, hasn't it? But God hasn't allowed it to be destroyed. Get you a good King James Version, beloved, and study your Bible. And study your Bible. And study your Bible. And ask the Lord to help you study your Bible. For my God, He says, is a consuming fire. And beloved, there is strictly no confusion concerning salvation. There's a cry today, why don't God do something? All of this confusion. But the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, let's go there hurriedly, our time is rapidly expanding. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Starting at the 12th verse, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13. Looking back, Paul reminds the believers, he says, in whom you also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Beloved, and the word of truth, for your information, is the gospel according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll have to cross that bridge next time. Beloved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Like I said, get you a good King James Version, study the Bible, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we hope this program has been enlightening to you. Our desire is to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 810-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 810-778-5032. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this same time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe.